Okay, we'll be in Deuteronomy. So turn to Deuteronomy 8. When you find that stand, we'll read our verses tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse number 5, and we'll read to verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. God wanted Israel to have a good land, didn't he? He wanted good for them. But what they needed to get there is they needed to be chastened. They needed correction. To get the good, you have to have the chastening. And so there's a reason for it. We're going to be talking about it tonight. We're going to be talking about God corrects us, why God corrects us. And when God doesn't, when we're not being corrected, then what are we? We're running wild. So we're going to be talking about that. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Guide us in your path. Help us to be obedient, to trust you. Speak to our hearts. We need to hear from you, and so we pray for your help with that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Running wild. So I was thinking about that phrase, you know. I think of kids, you know, when they're just running around. Matter of fact, Brother Drew and I were in the foyer, and there was kids running around. We're thinking, mercy. These guys have all this energy, you know. And so there's that running wild. Though, when I was studying for this, I was reminded when I was a kid, I don't know how old I was, it would have been maybe 10, 11, somewhere in there. And my cousin, he's a couple years older than me, so he's like 14 or 15. So he's just, you know, this mature, old kid, and I'm just this young kid, right? And we were shooting BB guns out in the pasture at Grandpa's house, and he had one of those BB guns where you just pump it, you know? And the more you pumped it, the harder that thing shot. And he's pumping it for a long time. And then he said to me, he looks at me and he says, run. I said, I'm not running. I said, forget you. And then he pointed it at me point blank. And he said, run. So I took off running. And man, I'm running with all my might. I'm zigzagging. And he shot me. Right in the backside. I mean, direct hit. It hurt, man. I flew into the grass. I was crying. If you could have seen me out there running from my cousin who's shooting BBs at my rear end, you would have an image of what it looks like to run wild. Running wild. Running for your life. Sometimes people are running wild in their life. What is it? What's another way to look at that? Well, it's sort of like when we allow our kids, listen, moms and dads, when we allow our kids to go wherever, whenever, with whomever. When we allow our kids to go wherever, whenever, with whomever. You know what our kids need? They need to not be allowed to go wherever, whenever, with whomever. They need that not to happen. What our children need is to be bridled. They need it. They must have it. Why? Because We need to be controlled. We need to be controlled. Why? Because if you do not, if you're not taught how to control yourself, it's like Miss Williams. Remember Miss Williams used to say this? She would say, you either learn to control yourself from within, or you will be controlled from without. And that's what our children need. They need to be taught how to bridle their own lust, their own desires, their own actions. You need to learn how to do that. And as children, they don't have the capacity, they don't have the strength, they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the understanding to understand why certain things are needed. They don't have the understanding to trust that certain things, as they're being told in life. I was just talking to someone about this the other day, that sometimes God, we understand that God puts restrictions on things in life, but sometimes it doesn't make sense why. Like, why do you want me to do this? Or why do you want me to not do this, God? And because, watch, if we're not careful, we'll decide to disobey God when He's telling us to put restrictions there because it doesn't make sense to us, only to find out later, oh, this is why God said we shouldn't do this. But we had to go through, we had to have the mistake, and we had to have the scars to look back and say, you know, I wish I would have trusted in the beginning. And so children need that, because our children are growing up and they are in life, they're going to be motivated by their desires. They're going to be their lust and these feelings and these emotions are going to be driving them. And it's going to, when there's no restrictions there and there's no guardrails put up in their life, what they'll commonly do or often do is they'll go down a dangerous path because they don't see the danger in it. They don't have the experience. They don't have the understanding. Well, what's the big deal, they would say. And kids, it's a dangerous thing to say whenever you're being guided by people who love you and they're pointing you in a direction. Like a sermon you hear yesterday about Ruth and about dating and about relationships, and we talk about it, it seems like, all the time. And you're being told, these things are dangerous, but you say in your heart, but I don't understand the danger in this. And so you neglect the counsel and you follow your feelings only to find that it will lead you to destruction. It will lead you to hurt and pain and scars and sometimes even destructive things in life. Things that can't be repaired, I mean. And God wants you to avoid those things. God wants you to remain on a path where you don't have to look back and say, I wish I didn't do that. When you're running wild, then often what will end up happening is we'll live a life with all of these decisions, following these patterns in life that our feelings are guiding us to, and then we'll have those things to look back and say, I wish I didn't have that. God doesn't want it, and parents who love their children don't want that. Pastors who are preaching the Word and love the flock don't want that. Authorities in your life who care and understand the things of God, they don't want that. And so you're being guided in a direction. We're being guided and directed in the path that God has for us. And so what needs to happen is we need to understand, okay, so this is the things that need to be, these are the things that need to be adjusted or to be focused on or considered whenever I'm making decisions. Because in life, whenever I'm going to make these decisions, there's danger associated potentially with every decision that we make, and we want to make sure that we do the right thing, right? And so we need God's guidance. We need His instruction. He uses authorities to do that, and often we can just go right to the Word of God, and we can get black and white answers from God. What would you have me to do? Or we read the Word, or we get in the preaching, and God begins to prick our hearts. And maybe God doesn't give it to us black and white, but He begins to prick our hearts, and then we know. Meaning we know what God wants us to do because He's pricking us about it. And so He guides us. And we're wise to trust the Lord in His guidance. We're wise. But so often, isn't it true, when even though God guides us and our authorities point us, who love the Lord and love us, point us in the right direction, sometimes we don't listen, do we? Sometimes we're not as open-eared and open-hearted as we should be to the guidance of God. And And it's in those times when we make decisions outside of the parameters of what God is leading us to do, and we go away from God, and then with that, there comes this kind of correction from God, doesn't it? Correction. How many of you got spanked when you were a kid? Raise your hand. Amen. Good for you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. How many of you can remember the last time you got spanked? Okay. Wow, that's a lot. That means you were old when you got spanked. You were older. You weren't little, if you can remember it. The last time I got spanked, boys, listen to this. I was 16 years old. Raise your hand if you're 16. Moms, you see that? Moms and dads? All right. That is it. I was 16 years old, buddy. And guess who spanked me? It was my mom. My mom spanked me. Okay? I had an attitude about something, and she looked at me and she said, "Go to the room and I will meet you in there." And so we went into the room, and she laid into me mercilessly. Okay? She was not happy. And I don't remember the initial, it's kind of blacked out, you know. But you know how sometimes you're like, okay, so you need to know. Nope. She's like, just lay down on the bed. And then she just laid into me. So it was needful. It was needful. 16 years old. Parents chastise their kids. They give correction to their kids. Why? Because they love them. They want what's best for them. God said, listen to this. God said that he would chastise his children. He said that. Look at verse 5. Watch the wording here. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart. That's such a powerful phrase to start this thing off, by the way. Consider in your heart. That as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord thy God chastiseth thee. The word chastise means to discipline, to instruct, to admonish, to correct, and to teach. So it doesn't just like mean to spank. I mean, there's correction there. There's where you have done something wrong, and there needs to be an association. This punishment, there needs to be an association to the sin that you've committed. With the consequence of that sin. And that's the correction. It's the idea is you decide to do this, then this is what you can expect to happen because of what you did. And so the point is that correction is for the good of his children. And he did that because he loved his children. As a father would, the Lord chastises us. He would not, listen, a father who loves his son, he would not allow him to run around unrestrained. A father and a mother who loves their children would not allow them to run around unrestrained. They wouldn't do that. It breaks my heart when I see kids running around town. And you go to their mom and ask them, where is your child, so-and-so? I have no idea. You know, when are they going to be back? I don't know that either. You know, and then play it off as okay if we gave them a cell phone. You know, whenever your kids are left to themselves like that and they're out just running wild and doing whatever they want to do, it never like turns into something okay. It never turns into something good. And you say, well, my parents, they don't restrict me. Then you need to ask God to help put restrictions and boundaries around you. You need to do it yourself. God wants his people to consider the importance of correction. He says, consider in your heart. That was what he said in verse 5. Consider it in your heart. Well, why do we need to do that? First of all, because if you don't get corrected, it means you're not a child of God. That's the first thing we need to consider. Being chastised and not being corrected by God is not something to boast about. If you live in sin and you don't get convicted about it, like you don't feel bad when you do wrong things, you don't have conviction, that's not something to feel like proud about. It means you're not a child of God. Hebrews makes this clear. Don't turn there, but listen to Hebrews 12:5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if you don't get convicted about your sins, if you can live in sins and it's no big deal, if you can lie, if you can hate, if you can sin, if you can actively live in disobedience to God, what do you mean? I mean, you know what God wants you to do, and you purposely choose not to do it, and you never get convicted about it. You're never like moved or touched like, man, I'm doing something wrong here. That is because it might be that you've never been saved. Now, you can sit in church. You can be here. You can applaud the music. You can hear the sermon. But that these things don't mean that you're saved. If you feel no conviction, then you're probably not a son. So, well, I dabble in sin, and I run with the world, and I go my way, and God doesn't chastise me. God says, then I've never fathered you. You've never been born into my family. You're not legitimately my child. You're not a true son. Why? Because God says, if you're my child, then I'm going to correct you. That's what God said. All through the Bible, you'll find that when God's speaking of chastising his children, the point is that if you're my child, I'm going to chastise you. You're going to get corrected by God. And if you're saved this evening and you've been doing wrong, God is not, he's ringing you out about it. Or he's been trying to ring you out. The second thing is this. If you're saved, this is why you need to consider this in your heart. First, am I saved? Second, if you are saved, then you're not going to get away with your sins. It doesn't matter if pastor doesn't know about it, or if your mom or dad doesn't know about it. It doesn't matter if the other people in the church family don't know about it. It doesn't matter who does or doesn't know about it, because God knows about it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows the life that we live. He sees what we do. It's sort of like our kids. Then I say to my kids, I say, listen, dad needs to lose 10 pounds. Okay? And it's true. I want to lose 10 pounds. And so I say, okay, I'm not going to eat sweets. Now, with the Lord's help, I've been doing okay. But then Andrew, he's like all the time, dad, are you supposed to be eating that? Get out of here. It's like all the time. Or Grant. It's always Andrew or Grant. Dad, are you supposed to be eating? Are you supposed to be eating that, Dad? You're not supposed to be eating that. That's like how the Lord is. Like you go in there and you got the fridge open and you're like, what am I gonna have today? Yeah. And you're like, and God's like, And you're thinking about all that sin stuff that you want to get involved with, but God's like, are you supposed to be doing that? That's the pricking of the Lord. By the way, that's an exciting thing if you're saved and you're getting convicted like that, because that's sort of a confirming thing that you really got it. That you're really saved. God pricks you, he convicts you when you sin, and it's sort of like you should rejoice. You should say, thank you, Lord, for thank you for making me feel miserable when I sin, Lord, because it's a reminder that I'm truly saved. And that's something we should consider. God brings to our minds the consequences of our sins. Why would God see this as an important thing? Why would God convict us and chastise us? And why does he make a big deal about it? Because if he didn't convict you, we would run wild, wouldn't we? We would run in unrestrained sin, illicit relationships. We hear about this all the time, but it's so prevalent. I'm going to say it, but understand that I'm not trying to be inappropriate here. But pornography is a worldwide problem that is destroying so many people that it's incredible to me that it's not being restrained by a governmental level more than it is. By a world that And I understand the world is the world, but this is so absolutely destructive that it surprises me that it's not being restricted on a higher level. And it's destroying people that are trying to live for God. Texting inappropriate things. Kids, you got to stop it. You got to ask the Lord to help me. Help me, Lord. These things are just destroying me. The things I'm looking at on Facebook and on online and on YouTube can be helpful. YouTube can be entertaining. YouTube can be funny. YouTube has there's positives there. YouTube has awful, awful things on it. And do you know what YouTube doesn't have? It doesn't have a bridle. It doesn't have restrictive things on it that I know of. Kids, us, not kids. we need God to convict us about these things. Because if you've been doing wrong in any of the things I just mentioned, then God is probably pricking your heart. Well, that's what we're talking about. We need that conviction, because if we just let ourselves run wild, you know where we'll lead ourselves? To destruction. Insatiable hunger for pleasure. That's why people become alcoholics and drug addicts. But think about it in the area of entertainment. Entertainment is a positive thing. It's a good thing. We watch movies as families. We play video games occasionally. I don't like video games really, but I like old Nintendo classic games because that's what I grew up on as a kid. But you can only play them for like 30 minutes. And you're like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's why they're good, right? Because you don't get addicted to it. But, you know, so there's positive things to entertainment. But then, listen, you cross the line and you can't put guardrails up in the amount of entertainment and the kinds of entertainment you're taking in, and you just go unrestricted, running wild in your entertainment world, watching Netflix till 1 a.m. or later, every night. This is a dangerous thing, friends. And God convicts us, He pricks us, but did you know He won't stop you? He'll convict you though. Why? Because if God just lets you go and He just lets you do this, then we'll destroy ourselves. And He loves us. We need to be chastised. Why? Because we need to be stopped. We need to be corrected. Why? Because we need to understand that that correction that we get from God is an illustration of a bigger correction that we're going to bring on ourselves. You know, it's sort of like there's a difference in hitting your hand with a hammer, your thumb with a hammer, and then like a brick falling on your head. You know, there's levels to it. You know, I say to my kids, I say whenever I spank the kids, which I hate doing, and I wait way too long, I confess. It should have happened maybe a long time ago, but I don't want to do it. But, you know, it needs to happen. You know what I say to the boys whenever they had just gotten a spanking? I said, that hurt, doesn't it? Like, yeah, Dad, that really hurt. Not nearly as much as it hurts whenever you get the consequences of your sins. Where this sin that you're doing, if you just keep doing it, you know where it's going to lead you? A far more hurt in life than what you just felt. So it's an illustration. God corrects us, and it's an illustration of where we're going to be if we don't quit it. He won't stop us. He won't make us stop, but he'll hurt us a little bit. There'll be a sting there to remind us, or to put it in our minds and hearts to understand where we're going to go if we keep it up. Chastisement's for our good, and that's what I think we need to understand. Have you ever heard this before? This hurts me. This hurts me more than it hurts you. You know, and then you say, well, let's trade places then. Yeah. But it's for their good. It's for their good. Look at verse 7. I want to show that to you. God said, I'm going to chastise you now. Here's why. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. And there it is, right? I have something good for you. And girls, I have something good for you, God says. And He convicts you. Because he wants the good for you. He doesn't want you to go, boys, he doesn't want us to go the way that we'll go if we're running wild. Because it won't be good. And God wants it good for us. So he corrects us, he convicts us, brings us back. Look at verse 10. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. It's good. He wants good. They would lack nothing. They would be blessed. They would have agricultural produce. They would be fruits and olive and honey and minerals and abundant in water and essential crops and everything that they would need. God would give it to them, the abundance of the land. But he says, listen, to get you there, to get you to the good, I've got to correct you and I've got to chastise you because you're going to keep getting off and you're going to keep going this way and that way. But you got to stop doing that and you got to stop doing that and you got to stay on the right path because you're not going to get the good of the land if you keep getting off. He convicts us and he chastises us and it's for our good. It's not comfortable, but it's for our profit. Remember in Hebrews 12, I mentioned it earlier, verse 10, don't turn there. But it says, for they verily for a few days chastised us, speaking of dads to their sons, after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Then he said this, now no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous. How many of you have ever, there was a lot of hands that raised a little bit ago, you got spanked. So we know how it feels, right? So how many of you, whenever you got done, you were like, woohoo, boy, that was good. I mean, you're like, that was so awesome. There's nobody, you're crazy if you just got a spanking and you did that. That's what he says. It never in the moment seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, Paul said, it yieldeth. What does it do in our kids? What does it do in us? God's conviction and his chastising and those awful feelings he gives us when we're doing our sins, you know. What does it do in us? Well, it's miserable at the moment, but it yields, it produces in us peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yeah. So I told you about my mom, right? So she spanked me and it was like so embarrassing, man. I'm 16 years old. And I don't remember what I said, blackout moment. I had an attitude, and she just like lay on the bed and on my stomach, and she just spanked my bottom. She wasn't hit my back or anything, but she was hitting my bottom. She was like, whap, whap, whap. And I was like crying kinda, and it was awful. But you know what's the kind of crying whenever you're just sort of getting angrier? So I was hurt. I felt the sting, but I was getting angrier. So then we come out of the room and all is well, right? Like all is good. I got spanked and it's all good in the hood, right? Nope. So she goes back to vacuuming. My clothes, you know, or it was something to do with my clothes being everywhere on the floor. And she said something to me, you need to pick up your clothes. So I did this. I looked at her. She goes, oh, back to the room we go. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You know, and then back in there, she laid into me. It was worse the second time. You know, I'll never forget that episode. Not because I'm proud of the fact that what a doofus. I dropped the shirt in front of her. But you know, God used her in those moments to change me. Because truly, my spirit was different after the second time. It really was. It changed me. And who would have known, 16, that when I'm 17, I'm surrendering to be a pastor? Could it be that the correction that I felt on that day, the pain that I felt when she was spanking my body, and the change that it had with me on the inside, that a year or so later that I would surrender to be a pastor. I don't think that we can disconnect the connection between that correction and how God began to work in my heart from that moment to the day I surrendered. The point is this: God's not going to let you get away with it. And that's not a bad thing. It's because He has something amazing for you, and He wants to get you there. And He corrects us because He wants us to see it. Maybe we don't understand. Maybe we don't trust. Maybe it's just like, I don't know. It's just so long. It takes so long. It's such a hard wait. It's such a hard thing. And all of these struggles. But God says, you just trust me. Trust me. I know where I'm going to take you. You just have to trust me now. And He's not going to make it easy on you. You can go the whatever way you want to go, but He's not going to make it easy on you. If you're saved, He's going to correct you. You can get in the face of God, and you can say, after one correction, you can drop the shirt in front of the Lord, and He's going to correct you again. He's not going to make it easy on you. He won't make you do it, but He has something incredible for us in life. And so tonight, it could be that God has convicted you, and you've been fighting against Him, or you've been doing things you shouldn't do again. Let me encourage you to come and get it right. You say, Pastor, I haven't been convicted really about my sins at all. Then you probably need to evaluate whether or not you're saved. Because if you haven't been convicted on a regular basis about your sin in here, then it might be that you're not His son at all. It convicts us. God will not let His children run wild. Father, I pray Your blessings on the message. Help us to respond in obedience as You work in us. Thank You. I reflect, Lord, on that day when Mom gave me those last corrections as a 16-year-old. And I'll never forget those, but I think now about those and I say, praise the Lord. Thank You. Thank You for them. They were grievous at the time, but yielded in my life peaceable fruit unto righteousness. And so then, Lord, with conviction that You've done in my heart about sins that I've committed, and You do convict me, and I say thank You for that. I pray You'd help us to repent again, to turn our hearts back to You, to put guardrails up. If we have them with our parents or our authorities, that we would obey. If we don't have them, if we're sort of allowed to do things, that You would help us to put those guardrails up in our life. Please, we'll give You glory for what You've done and what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. The